You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Will the real Mr. Smith please stand up?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Never easy to describe someone. You can say about a man that he is so and so many years old, has brown or maybe black hair, that he works at this or that job. In fact, you can say very much about him. But you cannot really sum up an entire person with mere words. What does being a person mean? The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman with a searching answer to that question in a sermon titled, On Being a Person. Our music today is by the Lutheran Hour Choir.
Give us the Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may know him as our Savior and learn to be real persons by following him with a whole heart. Keep us from being fakes, taken in by fancy talk. Give us courage to see ourselves as we are, in constant need of your forgiveness and your life-giving strength. Make us real persons of flesh and blood, redeemed by the blood of your Son, and having real faith and love to live by. In his name we pray. Amen. Will the real Mr. Smith please stand up? This used to be the punchline on a television show in the United States, where three participants pretended to be Mr. Smith. Only one of them was the real Mr. Smith, and a panel of four experts asked searching questions of all three in an attempt to find out who the real Mr. Smith was. Finally, the experts were required to identify one of the three as the real Mr. Smith. Their decisions were announced to the audience, and then the master of ceremonies would say, "And now, will the real Mr. Smith please stand up?" There were times when it was perfectly clear to the whole audience who the real Mr. Smith was, even before the panel of experts had a chance to vote on it. Sometimes the questions were so searching that the imposters could not answer them, but the real Mr. Smith could and was easily recognized. On a few occasions, not many, it became apparent from the man's appearance who the real Mr. Smith was. Quite frequently, however, the audience gasped, and so did the experts, when the real Mr. Smith stood up. They had missed him altogether. Will the real Mr. Smith please stand up? Even Mr. Smith could have some trouble with that one. Will the hard-working, serious fellow from the office stand up? Or will it be the hard-talking, hard-drinking, hail fellow well-met from the club who will stand up? Will it be the courteous and agreeable man behind the counter downtown, or the disgruntled, angry, and somewhat bitter man about the house? Is it the man who puts on a pious face at church on Sunday morning, or the man who gives vent to his hostilities behind the wheel of a car on Sunday afternoon? Will the real Mr. Smith please stand up? We may have a right to wonder, and even Mr. Smith himself may be somewhat in doubt about who is going to stand up. Which one, after all, is the real Mr. Smith? When you stand up, which one is the real you? All of us have to ask ourselves that question because we are all people. People are like that. Knowing people and how they are, St. Paul said, "Because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to all of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking, and each one of you judge himself according to the amount of faith that God has given him." This is realistic talk about what it takes to be a real person. It gets behind all the fake smiles and the fancy talk to what is genuine and real in a man or woman, a boy or girl. There can be quite a difference between a personage, the stuff we like to build up around ourselves, and a person, the real stuff of which all of us are made. St. Paul was not criticizing the person who puts his best foot forward. If we did not do that, life would be almost unbearable. All of us have our worst foot. There are times when it somehow gets out there in front of the other foot. We say something thoughtless and inconsiderate, and we wonder how that slipped out. We do something which we recognize immediately to be wrong or stupid, and we ask ourselves how we could ever do that and be in our right minds. Some people have the strange idea that it's somewhat dishonest to put anything but your worst foot forward. It makes them feel guilty to put their best foot forward. That kind of thinking has helped to make our world a place where decency is despised and indecency is glorified, where kindness and consideration are treated as outmoded relics from the past, and toughness and violence are given a place of honor, where human virtues are looked upon as a form of dishonesty, and human vice is advertised in novels and motion pictures as the real stuff of which life is made. You don't have to goof off to be a real person, said St. Paul. But you can't be satisfied either to go through life as a personage with all of that artificial buildup people love to give themselves in order to conceal who they really are and what they really think. Those who are protesting against the artificiality and stupidity of modern life have got a great ally in St. Paul. He could dig them, and they can dig him. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you should, he said. Instead, be modest in your thinking. And each one of you judge himself according to the amount of faith that God has given him. Because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to all of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you should. That's what St. Paul said. It is a sharp thrust at the heart of life, coming from a man who knew what life is all about. This man knew God. He had come to know him the hard way. He had to learn for himself what life is all about. Life is not a fancy facade created by press agentry, playing upon the stuff of which the world makes so much, its pride, its prejudice, its passion. What St. Paul is talking about is real. That takes a man straight to the heart of God. That's almost too much for a lot of people to take these days. They don't want to hear about God. To be a real person, they think, you have to leave God out of it. They are real, and God is unreal. Not so, said St. Paul. He found that out the hard way. This man was going his own way, as a lot of people are trying to do today. He was going to make a name for himself without God, as a lot of people imagine it must be done today. Then he found out on the road somewhere going to Damascus that it doesn't work. There he met Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ spoke to him. Saul, Saul, what do you think you're doing? Why are you out gunning for me? There was no way of getting away from that voice, that person. This is the way God comes to people, even today, in Jesus Christ. He's coming that way to you at this moment. Jesus Christ speaks to you, as he did to this man Saul, later known as Paul. I am Jesus. Get up and go. You hurt yourself by hitting back like an ox kicking against his own owner's stick. Get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. You are to tell others what you have seen of me today and what I will show you in the future. I will save you. You are to open the eyes of people and turn them from the dark into the light, from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me, they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's chosen people. Jesus Christ is God's gift to men, to all men, everywhere. He's God's gift to you. This gift comes, as it did then, in a real person. Jesus Christ was a real man. His life, as it is described in the New Testament, was the life of a real man. His death was the death of a real man. There was nothing artificial about him. He never tried to conceal anything. He was not merely a personage, but a person. Parading him before the people as a personage, Pontius Pilate unwittingly and yet laconically gave him the greatest accolade of all. Behold the man, said Pilate, a real man. When he met Jesus Christ, Paul became a man. For the first time in his life, he found out what it meant to be a real person, a real man. It requires courage. It means seeing yourself as you are, a sinner in need of forgiveness. It means going the way of faith, faith in God, even when you don't know exactly what God has in mind for you. It means sticking with God and doing his will through thick and thin. It means putting away all that old stuff, all that fancy fakery associated with the creation of a personage, in favor of being a real person, a real man or woman, a real boy or girl, following Christ in spite of disappointment and failure. It means going by faith, not standing still, but going, and not just going forward, but forward in faith. There's quite a difference between being a person and being a personage. Someone has defined a person as an autonomous, responsible human being who takes life head on and deals with it, overcomes it. A personage hides behind a mask, a front, subject to others and unwilling to accept responsibilities as they come along. Never ready to act independently, always waiting for someone else, some other person, to tell him what to do. A personage runs away from life. He tries to escape. Behind the facade, he often hides the frightened, the infantile, the confused, the anxious, the troubled, and the lonely. It's all front. That's what a personage is. Pascal once said, "We strive continually to adore and preserve our imaginary self, neglecting the true one." Personages play with life, but they don't really live it. To a personage, life is something like a machine. You put your money in, and out come sandwiches, drink, and dessert. That's all, because that's what life is all about. "Not so," said St. Paul. "Men are meant to be persons, living life to the full, within the limitations that each one of us has. We must be what we have been called to be. We cannot run away from life. We have to meet it head on. We can't be like Mr. X, who wants to get divorced from his wife because he has discovered that he never really had any freedom when he was a boy, and now in marriage he feels shackled. You can't escape that way, because that way there is no escape." "If you want to be a real person," said St. Paul, "don't try to escape from life. It won't work. Reach out for fulfillment. You will find it in God. I found it that way," Paul said, "and you will too. See yourself as you are. Because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to all of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking, and each one of you judge himself according to the amount of faith that God has given him." "To be a real person," said St. Paul, "remember God. There's nothing wrong with remembering him. Put God squarely into your thinking. It is not a sign of weakness. Rather, it is a sign of strength. Remembering God, you begin to get somewhere. It's the first step on the way to being a real person. When you think of God, when you remember him, you don't have to feel ashamed of the feeling that comes over you. You feel sorry over what you have been, and maybe because of what you have done. You might even feel sorry over what you have failed to do. You know, you haven't been everything you should have been, and you haven't done everything you should have done. You feel sorry to God, and that's a great thing. It's what the Bible calls repentance, feeling sorry to God that you've not lived up to his expectations. Remember God. His kindness calls you to repentance. He invites you to have confidence in him. In Jesus Christ, he invites you. Christ died for you, and Christ atoned for everything that is in you, all your failures, your misdeeds, your hostilities, your sin. He died for that. And God forgives you. Remember God and have faith in him. Remember God and don't be afraid to see yourself as you are. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking. Judge yourself according to the amount of faith God has given you. You don't have to put on a false front. You don't have to wear a false face. You don't have to paint a false picture of yourself. Be a person, a real person, with faith in God that he knows you as you are and still accepts you. He does, you know, in Jesus Christ. For you, Christ died. And with faith in him, you belong. You belong to God. With faith in God, say yes to life and be a real person. Follow Christ in faith and just be yourself. That's what it takes to be a real person. Genuine faith in Christ gives clear vision to make life a thing of joy without any artificiality. With faith in Christ, you don't need any false front. You can be yourself. A friend of mine told me about a middle-aged woman who lost her fiancé in her early 20s. With his death, she lost all her hopes and aspirations. The home they were going to have and the children they hoped would come, all of it was lost. She said no to life retired within herself, put up a false front, and lost herself as a person. Later on, Jesus Christ broke through into her life, as he did into the life of St. Paul. In Jesus Christ, she found herself again. She became a real person once more. She said yes to life, and it became a thing of happiness and fulfillment. Proud Pete runs away from life, afraid that somebody's going to puncture the thin veneer he has built up around himself. Gloomy Gus thinks he looks at life realistically, seeing only the dark side of it. Actually, he's running away, too. Paul can afford to be a real person. He has faith in Christ. He takes pleasures in the gifts of God without becoming a slave to anyone. He's able to go and to wait, to spend and to save, to speak and to forbear, to work and to rest, to be serious and to be gay, to defend himself and to surrender himself. He can be a man living creatively because he's a real person. Personages are like cut flowers. They wilt and eventually die. Persons are like living plants. They have their roots in a good soil. They grow and bloom. As one bloom fades away, the next bud begins to blossom out. That's the way it is with a real person. His life rooted in faith, faith that permits him to be modest when he thinks about himself, faith that enables him to judge himself and his capabilities in the light of the faith God has given him. No matter what happens, his faith will not let him down. He can be a person, a real person, with freedom to participate unreservedly in the life that now is, and then to share unreservedly in the life that is yet to be. With faith in God, as someone has said, it's okay to be a person, a real person. Amen.
Today's sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman was titled, On Being a Person. Printed copies may be obtained in regular print, in Braille for the blind, and also in sight-saving print for the visually handicapped. When you know what it means to be a person, you begin to think more and more of your role among other persons. And the first classroom in human relationships is the home. Join us again next week when Dr. Hoffman's topic will be on being a family. Of greeting cards to celebrate various occasions is becoming more and more popular. To add a distinctive touch to the cards you send, and at the same time to give encouragement in the faith to your friends and relatives, may we suggest a packet of Christian greeting cards. We have prepared an assortment of attractively printed cards and matching envelopes, which we shall be happy to send you free and postpaid. Just address your request to this program, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now as Dr. Hoffman returns, we join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Passing day brings greater opportunities and wider challenges to this worldwide witness to the truth of the Christian gospel. To grasp these opportunities and to meet these challenges, we need the support and encouragement of all of you. Therefore, we ask you to pray for us, to invite your friends to listen to our programs regularly, and from time to time to send us your letters of encouragement. Remember, complimentary copies of today's sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, titled On Being a Person, as well as your free and postpaid packet of Christian greeting cards, are yours for the asking. Just write to this program, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. The Lutheran Hour was pre-recorded for release at this time under the auspices of the Lutheran Layman's League.